Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
On today's show, we've got a true beauty, Bill Center, whose most excellent wardrobe is admired by our other co-host, Annie Heilbrin.
Joined by the always debonair Bill Center, who is rocking the sport coat.
Yesterday, the Padres beat the Dodgers here at Petco with some fireworks from Derek Norris.
This one's a high fly ball, deep left field. I thought he got it on in the corner. Leaping up there is Kyle Crawford. Ball going, ball gone. Home run. Derek Norris. AJ, what a pickup.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, right next to the AMR patio where that home run landed, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Annie Heilbrin and Bill Center.
Happy Monday and welcome to Padres Social Hour here in the Western Metal Supply Building at Petco Park. It is a beautiful San Diego day right now. Game one versus the Houston Astros here at Petco Park, and I'm Annie Heilbrin, joined by, I'm going to call you Dapper today, Bill. Well, the Dapper Bill Center.
When you're 70, you've outlived debonair.
You got debonair and beauty.
That goes at about 30, so.
I do say a nice sport coat yet again today. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy that. And a beautiful day outside, Bill.
Trying to make Jesse look bad.
Well, you know, Jesse, I guess, has a sock thing.
Right.
Apparently, I've heard that Jesse's got some sock thing where he wears a different kind of quirky socks every day. I have sock game myself. I don't know that it's like, you know, you're always wearing those under jeans, and I don't know that I'm going to wear jeans on the show, but I can match him in the sock game is what I'm trying to tell you. Like sometimes, you know, I'll even rock like Halloween socks on in, you know, March. You just never know. I mean, you're not believing me, Bill.
No, I believe you. I'm just sort of a black and white sock person.
Bill's like, stop with the socks. I don't really care. All right. Hey, Bill.
Yo.
Game one, Monday, Houston Astros, beautiful day outside. Just finished that three-game set against the Dodgers. Got away with one yesterday, got the win yesterday. How you feeling as a whole after this weekend with the Dodgers?
Well, honestly, I'm a little – I mean, I would have liked to see them win this series against the Dodgers.
Of course.
I mean, you're head-to-head against a division rival, and you're now 2-4 against them on the season. And there comes a time where you've got to beat your division rivals, one, to put yourself in position to reach the playoffs. And I thought that they could have won at least two or three of the other games they lost to the Dodgers. But there is going to come a time where you've got to beat them to reach the playoffs.
Yeah, they won one in Los Angeles. They won one here. But like you said, when they are – you know, division leaders last year, and they're kind of the people you're trying to beat. You got to be able to get past them.
They are the team to beat. They are the defending division champions. The Dodgers are the team to beat in this division.
Well,
and you can't have runners thrown out on the bases. You can't miss cutoff guys. I mean, you can't make the mistakes that the Padres made over the weekend and beat good teams.
And I want to remind everyone, you can weigh in on this conversation. Go to Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or go online, padres.com/social hour. I can see everything you're doing in this conversation, as well as online on Twitter. So send us some comments and questions, and we'll get to those throughout the show. But Bill, what I noticed too is when you play the Dodgers, I think, when you're facing pitchers such as Greinke and whatnot, it's like you said, you cannot beat yourselves. You can't have those mistakes because everything has to be so spot on. You've got to get the runs and whatnot, but you can't have the mistakes.
Right.
It'll kill you.
No, and it's just like the series before that at Colorado where they had an inning where they gave up two outs, which makes it a five-out inning in Colorado. And those things are going to beat you.
Exactly.
Those are not things that they can't fix. It's not like they don't have personnel. They've got personnel. They just have to fix the mistakes. And I think a lot of that has to do with this team still hasn't been together very, very long.
Right.
They're still learning about each other. And I think when they get it all settled down, they're going to be fine. But they're making mistakes right now in division games, and that's going to cost you.
To that point, Buddy Black last night in his post-game press conference said, these guys, just like you said, they still don't know each other quite 100% yet.
Right.
They're still trying to figure each other out. And it's funny because he does such a great job of that in spring training, and he does such a great job of that throughout the beginning of the season and whatnot. But there's still a learning curve. Like, it doesn't happen automatically where all of a sudden it's like you've been playing with these guys for years. You've got to grow into that.
Right, and you got to know where your cutoff guy is going to be. And it's different on every team, and we've seen it already with Will Myers has missed at least one cutoff guy, And the reason is that he might not be in the same spot
right.
that he was when he was with Kansas City. So it's a learning process. The quicker you learn, the better off they're going to be.
Right. And there's just some things you can't replicate. You've got to go through it on the field and see what happens and then have conversations afterwards and try and move past it. So
right.
Something very cool yesterday. Two things. Derek Norris with his first home run of the season with
the Padres. Well, he stole my line because I was going to mention the fact that it almost made it into our studio.
It was right there. It boomed right in here. And if I don't know if anyone's sat here yet, but there's really no divider per se between, you know, you and the field. And so when that ball comes
Seth is the only person sitting. Everybody else is sitting in front of glass, and Seth has this cement wall. Right.
I'm smart.
Yeah, Seth knows that ball is going to give you a shiner about it's going to last for about a month.
We're up against glass windows, and Seth's got this huge concrete block in front of him.
I think Seth is actually the most intelligent one in on this because that ball comes at you, man.
No, I think that was just by mistake.
He's just a dumb luck right there.
Right.
Didn't you almost get one nailing you in the press box once?
I've been, over the years,
yeah.
I've been hit three times.
And we've seen quite a few laptops, too, get taken down.
I lost a laptop.
Oh, did you?
Right.
I didn't know that.
But I will say, when I'm in the press box and the ball's coming my way and it happens a couple times every year,
yeah.
I'm not trying to catch it.
We got
a wall right behind us that will knock it down, and I just pick it up and I find a kid in the stands to hand the ball to.
Always handing the ball to the kids, which we love and is what should happen out there
right.
if someone gets a ball.
Not my property.
No.
It's the property of some kid.
And some kid is going to love that and hopefully not put it up on eBay. But if it's a kid, it's a better chance that he's not going to do it. So
right. We'd
rather give it to the kid. Derek Norris with that home run and Alexi Amarista with the home run. And Alexi's on the 10th pitch. Have you seen that happen in your career?
No.
Not often.
No, not very often. And that was a great at-bat. We're in a scoreless game. The Padres have struggled the last couple nights. The game is scoreless. And Scott Baker is pitching for the Dodgers. It's 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
The count's 2-2.
Right.
Alexi fouls off two pitches. Then Scott throws ball three. So now we got a full count. Two more foul balls. And Scott Baker tries to come back with the pitch that he threw for the first strike, a sinker. And it hung up in the zone a little bit, and Alexi hit it out. But that was a great at-bat.
Yes.
And when you have an at-bat like that, the guys in the dugout, I mean, they start counting after about six pitches.
Sure.
And they know that an at-bat like that stops being an at-bat and starts being a battle between the pitcher and the hitter. And then it becomes personal. I'm not going to walk you. I'm going to get you. And the hitter's thinking, I fouled off all these pitches. I'm looking for what I can hit. And he got a pitch he could hit. I thought that was a great at-bat. I love those at-bats.
And it's just showing, like you said, that battle and that patience and Alexi Amarista seeing it through and then getting the best of a Baker. And
first time it's happened that the Padre has homered on a 10-pitch or more at-bat since 2010. And it's only happened five times. In this century.
That's wild.
Right.
When you think about that. And then, you know, he's not the tallest guy, Alexi Amarista.
No.
And so you see that body and that power, and just he nails it, and it's pretty cool to watch,
too. You don't necessarily have to be tall to have
you
power.
You don't.
You've got to have a quick bat.
You don't.
Right.
Yeah.
And he is, and Alexi has strength. I mean, it's in a small package, but he's got strength.
Hey, here's a fun stat for you. I don't know if you saw this. Friar Figures tweeted it out. Alexi Amarista, 5'6", right? Jose Altuve, 5'6", and they will face off tonight. They are the shortest players in Major League.
Right, and I don't think Alexi's 5'6".
What do you think Alexi is?
I think Alexi's about 5'4".
Okay, so they're giving him some hair height on that, maybe?
Right, I think they're giving him a couple inches.
I've seen players do that.
Right.
Yeah, they give themselves a couple inches,
okay,
get the hair.
How tall are you?
5'8".
Okay. You're taller than, I know that you're taller than Alexi.
Oh, I'm taller than Alexi, and of course,
as a woman,
if you tease your hair a little bit and you wear some heels, you're even taller. But,
but
you know, I can do the whole tease hair trick, and I know in football, they tend to do that too. They tend to be generous with the height, so, hey.
Well, I know somebody who was in the clubhouse who was 5'6", and he was taller than Alexi.
All right, well, still.
I got him.
I don't think you know that was Seth's stat, and you're not loving that. I can tell.
I think that they're the two shortest players in the major leagues. There's no question about that. But I think Alexi fudges up a little bit. I'm not sure what
you're saying.
Does.
You're saying the accuracy of the stat.
Right.
If you were going to give it to Elias,
no,
or something.
I would absolutely say that it's accurate that they're the two shortest players
right.
in Major League Baseball.
Just that Alexi's
they
not
just
quite.
Might be a little shorter
okay.
than publicized.
You know, I can get away with taking Alexi and doing like a video maybe, and you know where we measure him on like a wall or something.
Yeah.
It's something I can get
right.
away with. So maybe
you know,
I'll do
I
that.
I get into trouble with a lot of fans. That well, a lot of people that I have on my Twitter, Padre Central, they still are. I believe that Alexi is a good major league shortstop, and there are fans out there who still believe that this club needs a shortstop.
I saw someone tweet the other. It was yesterday, I think. What would this club be if they were able to get a higher caliber shortstop or an elite shortstop or whatever you
and
would call it? And what do you say to that?
Well, I say that they've got enough other parts. Alexi hits eighth in the order.
Yeah.
You're not counting on him for offense, and he has been playing solid defense. He is not the most electric defensive person that you're ever going to see at shortstop, but he's been playing solid defense. And what you want from your shortstop is consistently good defense.
That reliability.
Right.
Someone that you can count on.
Right.
I think people, if you're out there, if you're listening or you're watching this, do you agree with Bill? Get on our forum, padres.com/social hour, or go on Twitter and hashtag PadresSH and let us know if you agree with Bill there about Alexi Amarista or if you would like a change at the shortstop position. I think that is a great topic of discussion and one that I've seen as well. All right, we're going to be back with so much more. I want to remind people, Fiesta in the Park. Don't miss this season's first Fiesta in the Park, presented by Verizon Wireless, Friday, May 1st at Park in the Park. With live entertainment and food and drink specials, be there when the party starts at 5 p.m. Get tickets now at padres.com/party. Game 1 against the Houston Astros today at Petco Park. We'll be back with so much more here on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studio at Petco Park. We've got a little crowd forming. I like that. We always like a little crowd here. And it's always fun to see people watching the show and giving us some feedback in between breaks and whatnot.
Except when they're up there booing and stuff.
Oh, except when they're booing. Yeah, of course. Do you get booed a lot, Bill?
No.
I was going to say, I would hate to see that.
Plus, as you know, I probably have a short trigger. So.
Oh, someone's going to get told off. I would like to try to see someone boo you. Because that would be good. All right, I want to say that we got a little tweet action here, some Twitter action from Rob Bishop SD, about to see my first Padres Social Hour. Now, he was standing here, and he's been watching the show. He was actually here about 10 minutes before the show started, so we appreciate that. He said that this is the first time he's seen the show. And then he sent us a picture and said, Padres Social Hour is a go, Annie Heilbrun calling out Jesse Agler sock game. And I just want to say, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, someone else here asked if we're going to have a sock off. And Richard, that's G Darklighter. I think we will. I think we will. So
you and Jesse?
Yeah, and I think I'll win.
Okay. So. That's great because I'll just be here with probably my one pair of black socks.
Bill, if we got you some, colorful socks for, I don't know, the
never
holidays, you would never wear them.
Nope.
No. Even if it hurt my feelings. I cried.
Hey.
Wow.
Those are the breaks
of
the game.
All right, Bill. We're getting actually some great activity here on Twitter and in the forum, and we're going to get to all of this. I know that we're going to be reading some tweets later in the show. I kind of wanted to go a little bit back to the game yesterday and a little bit on Derek Norris, who just really has become somewhat, I guess, of a dark horse. I've seen people say that, you know, when they bring in those big names like Kemp and Upton, you know, someone like Derek Norris might get lost in that. But he's really been someone who's like a blue-collar lunch pail guy, comes to work every day, and does something in the game to help them out, whether it's throwing out a guy, whether it's hitting, whatever it is.
Well, he is a very good offensive catcher, and that's a hard thing to find.
Absolutely.
And I think the acquisition of Derek Norris by AJ Preller is underrated. I put that right there at the top of the list because the way he is playing, the way he is hitting, the way he is throwing. Yesterday he threw out his eighth runner of the year.
Yes.
In 18 games.
Mm-hmm.
That matches his career high set last year.
And that was in 114 games.
Doesn't have the strongest arm in the world. Quick release, very accurate. And that makes up for arm strength.
Absolutely.
He is putting the ball, and he had at least one other one where the second baseman didn't hold on to the ball. He is putting the ball on the runner, which is if you can put the ball on top of the runner, you don't have to have the most spectacular arm in the world.
And if you're even though a fraction of a hair off, if you're like a fraction of a second behind, you're not getting him out. And
right.
Derek Norris is right on the money on that.
Accuracy, I think catchers throwing accuracy is far more important than arm strength. Release time and accuracy is what I want.
It's so big for the club because it really picks them up as well. I mean, when he does that, you see it in the dugout, you feel it on the field. Hey, we don't have to worry about this guy anymore. It's a huge blow to the team,
and
to the other team.
Yesterday, it came with Adrian Gonzalez up.
Exactly.
It was a strikeout throwout. I mean, and that with Gonzalez up one, you struck it. I mean, Morrow has struck out Gonzalez, bingo, and then Norris guns down Jimmy Rollins.
Yes.
I think I said Morrow. I hope I said Morrow.
You said Morrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you said Morrow. We'll go with that.
But Morrow was the pitcher who struck out Gonzalez, and then Norris nails Rollins. That's a huge play.
And, he goes out there to make sure that Brandon Morrow has his most successful game. That's his, first and foremost priority. But he's able to contribute on offense, and he's able to get the runners out when he needs to. And I think that's a big boost. He actually has 11 RBIs on the season, leads the team in doubles, and I think that's pretty cool.
And I love the gap power. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, well, they want more home runs. No, I'll take gap power. And the way he has been using his power, I really like it. That is a very productive
bat. He's also a pretty good runner. He's what they call sneaky fast.
For any catcher who can run.
I agree. What do you think of his edge? Have you noticed that about him? I mean, do you feel like he's got a little bit of an edge to him?
I think there are a lot of players in this team that have an edge to him. I mean, Kemp has an edge. I like it. I love players who come in here. And it's easier to have an edge when you have confidence in what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty hard to have an edge last year when the team is hitting .220.
Exactly. That edge doesn't last long. It sort of deflates as that game goes on. So you're absolutely right. And Buddy said, he'd rather have more edge than not. And I agree. I mean, you want guys with a chip that want to win, that are competitive, that get angry if they're not hitting or get a little bit on each other or whatnot and try to pick each other up. So I think that's a big boost for them. Derek Norris, do you find at all, because, he's played, this is the most he's played since, last year he just didn't play as many consecutive games, as many consecutive starts with the A's, but he's handling it well. Do you see any need to kind of take him out of the lineup, I guess, more than he's being taken out now and let Will
not
in?
Not right now, maybe later in the summer when it's really hot and they're on a really, a road trip to St. Louis and Cincinnati or maybe you give him 2 days, but right now it's cool. He's fresh. He's young, and I think a catcher sort of dictates at times as to when they need a day off. Dictates by just how they look, how they swing the bat, a lot of different things on the catcher. But right now, no, I think he's fine.
Yeah, I asked him in the clubhouse today if he felt any kind of adverse reaction to that, and he said no. He said it's just a matter of getting in the training room more, making sure that you're stretching out your body more, just a few proactive things that he's doing because he knows that he's playing more. But he also said it's great because he's able to get into a rhythm where before, when he wouldn't play as much, you lose some of that rhythm even on defense, and so it's a good thing obviously for the team.
And the Padres want him to catch at least 120 games, and that's if a catcher catches 120 games, That's 4 out of 5. That's a good number, and I think that they'll be fine if that happens.
I'm seeing in the forum, Dino is not going to work for Norris. They don't want to nickname him Dino, and I just want to say that we got into this conversation on Twitter in the opening day game for the Padres, and Dino's wife weighed in. Derek Norris's wife joined the conversation and said he's known as Deke, D-E-K-E, or Dino. That's what he goes by.
Is that right?
So I'm just throwing that out there for you guys. I know that it's not the same for you. Yes, obviously we're talking about Denorfia, but that's his nicknames, Deke or Dino.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you can try and give him something else, but that's what I'm giving him right now.
Well, I think Derek works.
I think Derek works as well. I think Derek is a great choice. I also saw something here, Bill. from, let's see, Friar Jack, who said, keep Jed, he'll turn it around. Obviously referring to Jed Jerko, who has not had the best of starts, to put it lightly.
Jed right now is 2-for-36 against right-handed pitching, and I would not be surprised if for at least the time being that we see him against left-handers, who he is very good against.
Yeah.
He's hitting .500 against left-handers. But with Solarte and Spangenberg available, I don't see him playing an awful lot right now against right-handed pitchers.
I agree.
Hey, there's going to come a time where if in batting practice or in working with the coaches, and he'll get, I'm sure he'll get an occasional outing against right-handers.
Mm-hmm.
If they see improvement, you're going to see him against right-handed pitchers. Because one, Jerko's got more power than either Spangenberg or Solarte.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he's been your regular second baseman. You're going to give him a chance to get back as the everyday second baseman. But I don't see it happening right now. I think it's now pretty much a platoon.
I would agree with that. And Buddy has said that they're working with him. Mark Kotze and Zoe are working with him to get, you know, his hitting back to where it could be. But for right now, what else could you do but play guys like Solarte and Spangenberg?
He had a really good at-bat in his first at-bat against Baker yesterday,
mm-hmm.
right-handed pitcher. And he drove the ball. The next two at-bats, I saw some of the same problems he's been having.
All right, well, we can talk more about this after the break. If people would like to weigh in, go to Twitter, hashtag PadresSH, or join us on the forum here. You guys are getting rowdy in here, which I enjoy. I want to remind everyone to get out to Petco Park for Taco Tuesday, presented by Cholula Hot Sauce. $1 tacos every Tuesday home game. The next Taco Tuesday is on April 28th, that is tomorrow, as the Padres take on the Houston Astros. Visit Padres.com for tickets. Make sure you stay with us. Game one versus the Houston Astros, and we will be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the Western Metal Supply Building at Petco Park. And this is, of course, presented by United Airlines. And Bill Center and myself are happy to be joining you, and we are happy to see some action on Twitter, Bill. I know you can follow Bill at Padres Central, and he... Do you get back to a lot of people, Bill? Good. Okay. Do you yell at a lot of people?
No.
Okay. Well, you can join our conversation at hashtag.
I'll tell them if I think they're wrong.
You can join our conversation at hashtag PadresSH, and you can see who's tweeting us, and you can also get your tweet read on the show if we choose to do so. And we've got some right now. We've got Friar Fever. Every time someone says at Friar Figures on PadresSH, I think they're going to say Friar Fever, and then I'm immediately sad. So we're giving him a shout out. I understand that. I understand that, you know, you want some love and some social media love.
Right.
We're giving that to you.
There you
Don't
go.
Don't say we never did anything for you,
but
Friar Fever.
But he's Friar Fever is not Friar Figures, because I know who is Friar Figures.
Friar Figures is a great follow, too, if anyone's out there.
Right.
Some wonderful stats, and it's just it's a great account to follow if you're a Padres fan. So make sure you're getting on Twitter. I also wanted to mention that Rob, who was tweeting us before, he stepped out for a minute, and he got a ball. Did you get a ball? He got a ball from Altuve. So I think, you know, this is a great area. Uh-oh. You never know what you're going to get. Look at that.
This is actually, if you want a ball, this is a pretty good area. Right down in this corner.
Well, yeah. And, like, you get to see us, which is obviously awesome. And then you also get to catch all the players out there taking BP, and you're very close to them. So it's pretty cool. All right. Well, we thank you for your tweets. Ghost of Ray Kroc says he likes to call Derek Norris Mr. Norris Sir.
Ghost.
I think that's appropriate, though, for a guy like Derek Norris.
Ghost and I have a running dialogue. So
yeah? Is it good or bad?
No, it's good. We disagree on some things, but I love exchanging with Ghost.
He's pretty funny. He can throw some pretty funny things in there. All right. Hey, Bill, I know that we wanted to talk a little bit about the Houston Astros and kind of the difference in the organizations and their turnaround from last year to this year. So I'm going to let you run with that for a second. You had a great point about that.
Well, the Padres and the Astros are two of the most improved, probably the two most improved teams in the major leagues this year. And they've done it coming from completely different angles. The Astros averaged 100 losses a year over the last three seasons. While they were doing that, they traded away a lot of their pricey veterans for young prospects. Well, those young prospects and the high draft choices that they acquired or they accumulated have formed the nucleus of this team, this young team, and it's doing quite well. They went out, their bullpen has five former Padres in it, but but the lineup and the pitchers are mostly young players they acquired through the draft or on these trades where they traded away older players like Roy Oswalt. They got younger prospects back, and this is what we've got. Took them 3 years to get here. Now, of course, the Padres took a completely different mode where they traded some of their prospects for proven players to make the team better immediately.
Yeah, with the Astros pitching staff, that staff all around has been doing really, really well this season. And I think that it's such a great point to look at the different ways that a team can build and try to turn their struggles around, which is really what we saw with the Padres for many, many years as well. But like you said, different ways of doing it. Which way do you think, because I know that there's a lot of discussion, too, about building through the farm system and being able to, you know, kind of grow your own, I guess, grow your own players, I don't know, you know, bring them up through your system. Which way do you think is more sustainable?
Well.
Or is it a combination of both that works out?
I'll tell you, if you get good, you're not going to have those draft picks.
True.
So what is sustainable is to have a general manager who can play both sides. And I know that the Padres – you have a short-term plan, which the Padres, they wanted to turn it around immediately.
Absolutely.
The ownership saw the fan base and what the fan base wanted, and they were tired of all these losing years. They went out and they got players that could produce right now. But I know the long-term program for this is to develop their own talent, not only through the draft, but you have A.J. Preller, who is extremely bright on the international market. I think we're going to see more international players here, and I'm not talking just from Latin America.
Right.
I'm talking from about the Far East. But I think that eventually this club, like a lot of good clubs, will build through their own system. But the immediate was we want to make this team better now. Now, in doing that, Amy, they also acquired a lot of players like Derek Norris, who they control for a period of time.
Correct.
They control Matt Kemp. They control Derek Norris. Now they have, I mean,
and young players, even Will Myers.
Will Myers. They control for a while. Upton is a free agent at the end of this year, but the bulk of the players that they brought in, Will Middlebrooks, they control for a while.
And you think about that. I mean, there's such a huge upside on those guys, and especially you look at a guy like Will Middlebrooks that they got for a low, I guess a lower price or whatnot, or a low buy-in or whatnot.
Well, Ryan Hanick, it cost him a catcher.
It cost him, exactly.
Who was here for like 12 hours.
Exactly. You know, so I think that when you look at a guy like the Will Middlebrooks and what he will be able to do in the years to come, and you look at Myers and you look, you know, there's such a big payoff on that
Norris,
end. Norris, exactly.
You've got him for five more seasons.
But they had to stop the bleeding. They had to do something to get this team turned around.
And they wanted to turn it around immediately.
Right.
And they did trade some prospects who are going to reach the major leagues.
Right.
Not all of them, because prospects are
potentials.
Exactly. I was going to say prospects, but I like your potentials.
They're not proven.
Right.
I'll say that.
They're not proven. Not all of them make it. Some of them will. And I know the argument that why did we go out and get Norris when it cost us Jesse Hahn. But those, you have to do those things. You can't get quality unless you're willing to trade quality.
And there's always a risk reward. There's always you're never going to meet a GM who says we nailed every single decision we ever made, you know?
But the key is to, when you make those deals, to have the confidence that you can go out and restock the farm
system.
That you've got a good scouting system both in the United States and internationally, and you can restock.
And like you said, I mean, A.J. Preller is known for what he's done internationally and for finding those kind of diamond in the rough players and being able to, you know, get them to acclimate and to grow in the system and whatnot. So I think it'll be interesting to watch that and to see how those additions, when those additions come in, because you know they will, how they will benefit this team.
And there are some young prospects in this system. You got Reimer Liriano and Hunter Renfro in the outfield. You've got Colin Ray pitching. So it's not, this is not a void in the farm system, But there is some restocking.
Exactly. All right. Well, when we come back, we will be joined by Joaquin Benoit. So don't go anywhere. Petco, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Stay with us. Joaquin Benoit will be here next here on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
That is an intro if I've ever heard one. Welcome back to Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studios. Quite a crowd joining us today, and we thank you guys for watching. And we also thank Joaquin Benoit for his first appearance ever on Social Hour. Bill, can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it because this is a big. I mean, we got one of the key players here.
We thank you for joining us. Are you excited to be here? Were you wondering where they were taking you when they were walking you down the hallway?
No, actually, last year. Pass around a lot of times from the field, and I was asking myself what part of the interview room is that, because everybody was coming in.
What's going on in there?
Joaquin's like, what do I got to do to get in here, guys?
So did they bring you down in the cart, or did you have to walk?
No, they bring me in a car.
Ah, hey. Sweet. See, because it's quite a ways from the clubhouse. They brought him in a cart.
It's always so good to get the cart action. Exactly. Yeah. Especially, you got to rest your legs and whatnot. You never know when you got to be out there.
And all I know is the co-host has to walk.
No, Bill and myself carrying all our stuff. No one feels sorry for us,
no,
right, Bill?
No.
So, Joaquin, tell us a little bit about how the season's going for you, the beginning of the season, and how it's been getting acclimated to some of the new guys in the clubhouse.
Well, the clubhouse is really exciting this year. I think everybody's coming along really well. And I think the season has been really busy for all of us.
Yes.
I mean, I've been in quite a few games this year early. So it's been interesting.
Was it hard for you, I mean, in spring training, for all but one day of spring training, you were the closer. You were set up to be the closer. And then they go out and are able to trade for Craig Kimbrell, who might be the very best at that job in the game. Was it hard for you to make that adjustment with him coming in?
No, actually, I find out opening day in Los Angeles that I was going to be throwing the eighth. So I didn't know, like, till the end or to the beginning of the season that we were doing that we were getting him. But I've been a setup man basically last five years.
Right.
And I'm comfortable.
Right. Last year you were the setup man for Houston Street, and then when he moved to the Angels, you took over the closing spot. And over the winter, you looked to be the closer until they got Craig.
Yeah.
So now you're back in the eighth spot. But I would like to say that you are on a Cy Young award-winning pace here, right? he has three wins already.
Exactly.
That puts him on a pace for like 25 wins. You win 25 games, you got to win the Cy Young, right?
It'd probably be one of those rare records to beat.
One of those stats that gets pretty funky out there, right?
Yeah.
As a relief pitcher, what do you think about when you do pick up a win? I mean, is it you know, like if you're a starter and you got a lot of wins, it's meaningful. But if you're a relief pitcher and you got the three wins already, what?
I was just trying to figure out if there's a rule there that we can trade wins with the starters for, I don't know, strikeouts. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know.
You'd make the trade?
Hey, why not?
Okay.
I think relievers don't do much with wins. And in my case, I would take a hold, and it'd be something meaningful for me.
So in your case, a hold is more important than a win?
Personally, in my stats, yes.
Okay. And a hold for the fans, that may not, that's when you come into a game with a lead of three runs or less, and you complete your work, and that lead is still there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hold, and saves and holds, right?
Yes.
Which we have a save already, and we've got, what, three holds?
Yes, I think so.
Right. So
that's interesting.
So you've had a share in seven of the Padres' wins so far.
Yep.
That's
I guess so.
Give yourself a pat in the back.
That's a nice job.
Go and brush those shoulders off, Joaquin. I think it's interesting, too, because setup man, also a closer, but when you came into Major League Baseball, you were a starter. And That was a long time ago for you, you know, but can you talk a little bit about what it was like coming in with the Rangers and being a starter and then kind of going back and forth for a little while?
It was a different situation. I mean, I got to say that I got to thank the Rangers to give me the opportunity to become a baseball player first, because it was the first organization to give me a chance. And to come up with them, being in the big leagues, it was a little hard for me, because I was the guy that was supposed to be inconsistent, and that's why I was back and forth.
Yes.
And I can't define inconsistent when you never stick to one role. And for me, I couldn't define myself at the time, because I was follow whatever they were saying. Then that was from 2001 to 2006, when I was actually five. In 2006, I decided that I just want to be a reliever, not moving around. And in 2007, they put me to set up. And basically, I did my job. I won Pitcher of the Year in the Texas Rangers. I almost won a Cy Young there. I was 7-2. I was like second or third in wins.
Wow.
I mean, I have a hell of a year there.
But it helped too, like you said, to then have a role that you were able to stick with, versus being a young kid coming up into Major League Baseball and not knowing your role with the team, not quite being able to understand where you are and being given a lot of opportunities on the field, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think if coaches and whoever is in charge of a young kid coming up, if his role is going to be starting, let him fail or succeed at that role. If he fails, then you try something else. But if he's succeeding halfway and failing, he's part of the game.
Giving him a chance, right, Bill, to get on the field.
There's a question I always like to ask relief pitchers. Would you rather, when you know you're going to work an inning, but would you rather work an inning from the start of the inning, or do you like coming in with inherited runners?
I would like to have a clean inning.
Clean inning to start with.
Yeah, if I messed up, it's me.
Right.
If I got runners in base and I messed up somebody else's run.
Mm-hmm. I'm always interested by – I actually know of a relief pitcher said he'd rather come into situations where he inherits runners because he concentrates more. And I thought, that sounds strange.
It makes you work harder of whatever you need to do. You have to make pitches and try not to get those runners to score. But in my personal opinion, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I probably say the same. Now I prefer to have a clean inning and start fresh.
So that anything that happens is your responsibility.
Yes.
I could see that you know, exactly, not wanting to give up or not wanting to hurt the other people, the runs that had already gotten there on base, or making sure that it's your role that you're being able to get those guys out and whatnot. I want to remind people that you are on the Cholula Hot Seat, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. If you didn't know, Joaquin, you are on the Cholula hot seat. So
I don't know if you're starting to feel pretty warm. Question.
Yes. I've got two. All right. Real
drum
big,
roll.
Quick ones. First of all, who's the biggest joker in the bullpen?
Oh, my. The biggest joker. It's kind of tough. I'm always upstairs. Most of the guys are downstairs. But to pick one guy in there, I don't know.
I'm going to let you – okay, Bill, I'm going to let him pass on that one.
Okay.
We're going to throw a different one at you that I know
but
you're going
to
have
not
the
allowed
answer.
To pass on this one.
You're not allowed to pass on this one then. I hear you have more than 50 birds at your house. Is this true?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us the story behind this. I mean, what
– Well, being growing up at the Dominican, I live in a farm.
Okay.
I live like in a small town. And my grandfather used to have a lot of roosters and chickens running around. And I mean, it's a farm. And I always have, like, small doves that I pick up from the nest and just let them grow at my house. So now, growing up, I have parakeets, cockatoos, pheasants, I mean, a bunch. You can name it. I have a lot of birds.
That is interesting. You hear them? They're always chirping, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, the one that is mad about it is my mom. Because 7 in the morning, she has to wake up. It's loud.
All right. Well, on that note, Joaquin, Bill and I thank you so much for joining us here on Padres Social. And we hope you come back. This was your first trip, but we hope you come back here. And I want to remind everyone out there that Kids Fest is every Sunday home game at the park, featuring autographed signings from current Padre players, balloon artists, face painters, and more. Bring the family for the next Kids Fest this Sunday and watch the Padres take on the Dodgers. Get tickets at Padres.com. Make sure you're joining us on the forum at Padres.com/social hour and on Twitter at #. #PadresSH. We'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
And welcome back to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. And, Bill, we've got a game going on today against the Astros, right? Not the Dodgers, which is what I said in the last segment.
No, actually, you're talking about next Sunday. It'll be the Rockies.
It's the Rockies coming up for Kids Fest this Sunday.
You had a bad cue card.
I had a bad cue card, but still, I should have caught it. All right, okay. Let's get to the lineup. The lineup also presented by United Airlines. United Airlines proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Bill, what do you like or dislike about this lineup? What do you notice?
Well, I think it's a lineup we're going to see an awful lot against right-handed pitchers. And I think the key here is you've got Solarte at second base. Mm-hmm. Again, Jerko not facing a right-hander. And I think that we're going to see a lot more of this for the time being until Jed can prove that he can hit right-handed pitching.
I agree.
No problem with left-handers.
I agree. And so it's going to be interesting to watch that.
In fact, we're beginning to see teams, like with Brett Anderson yesterday, Dodgers didn't want to throw a left-hander against the Padres, who are hitting .359 against left-handers.
It's going to be a battle as the season goes on with teams.
Find
that
a left-hander.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Astros will start a left-hander in the third game in this series, mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting.
That'll be a good one to watch then as well. And just a quick note, apparently Brandon McCarthy of the Dodgers is out with Tommy John for the season.
Suffered the injury pitching here last Saturday and is now done for the season.
Right.
And will probably, I mean, they haven't said 100%, but it does sound like he will have surgery.
Yeah, and of course, you know, you never want a player, any player, to have Tommy John, but it's an interesting note with them being the division rivals. So, all right, we're going to hit one more break here, Bill, but first I want to remind everyone about some post-game fireworks. Join us this Saturday as the Padres take on the Colorado Rockies at 7:10 p.m. Yes, the Rockies. Stay after to check out the post-game fireworks show set to tunes from Led Zeppelin. Get tickets today at Padres.com. Big Led Zeppelin fan, Bill?
No.
Okay. But the rest of us out there are, so make sure you check that out, and we'll be right back with more Padres Social Hour.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. It's been a feisty show, which we love, and I also want to thank everyone for joining us on the forum at Padres.com/social hour. There's been some good conversation going on there, and also on Twitter, #PadresSH, and we've gotten some kind of funny tweets, Bill. We've got this one, again, from Fire Fever, and now Annie Halbrin gives me the shout-out on Padres at Padres Social Hour. Happy now. Even got Bill Center to say Fire Fever. Say it one more time, Bill.
Fire Fever. I can't say it four times straight.
You just made him his life. Right. All right. Ghost of Ray Kroc. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Padres Central likes me. I wouldn't go that far.
He knows that. Ghost knows that. We give each other a hard time, but he knows that I'm a fan.
Perfect. Okay. Well, we're going to let him live with that knowledge right now. And let's see. Rob Bishop said maybe you just haven't heard the right Zeppelin album.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't. I mean, I'm.
Who would you see a fireworks show? It'd be like
McCartney.
McCartney. Paul McCartney. All right. I think Zeppelin's going to make for a much better fireworks
show. The Oak Ridge
show,
Boys.
All right. Hey, we want to thank Nikki and Seth for all their hard work on this show. And thanks to Jesse Agler for letting me guest host. And Bill Center, thank you for joining me here on Padres Social Hour. Enjoy the game, everyone.